Our scripture reading is Matthew 2, verses 1 to 15. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking,
"Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage."
When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him,
"In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying,
"Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage."
When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said,
"Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him."
Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet,
"Out of Egypt I have called my son."
I want to echo Steve Lucas's comments that you as a congregation, we together did a fantastic job this year in raising our monies for the year. So I commend us all and commend you. It was a wonderful achievement to gather so much money and also to be able to pay off all of our missions and so on, our commitments, including our folk in Bolivia. So good for everybody. Thank you for your faithfulness in support of the Lord's work, and we look forward to another great year, 2016. Over the last number of weeks, we've been considering a variety of epiphanies, an appearance of God in our midst, and each of the stories that we've looked at through Advent have being an epiphany of one sort or another. And today we finish this series with the epiphany to the Magi. Today is also known as Epiphany Sunday, and in many churches around the world, particularly in the liturgical churches, this Sunday is the end of the Advent season, but it's also the beginning of the new year. So Epiphany counts down from the 12 days of Christmas, and it ends up finally not on the Sunday, but that's the last day is Epiphany. And in many churches, the first Sunday after New Year's is the Sunday of Epiphany, which is what we're celebrating today. And it's a time, I believe, that is useful for us because it's always associated with the message to the Magi. And the Magi are the Gentiles coming from the East. And so the story is the good news, God's great work, now coming in contact with all of the world, to the Gentile community, which, of course, we are part of. And so it's God's voice speaking to all the world. This is all caught up in the capsule of this nativity story to the Magi. It's one of the reasons why Matthew includes it. It becomes a missional story of the good news coming to all of the world. And so if we think of a picture, this is an art piece, and there are many of the Magi coming to the Holy Family in Bethlehem and giving their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold is the gift given to a king, normally. And frankincense and myrrh were ointments, which were also used in a king setting. If you read the Song of Songs, you'll see the references to frankincense and to myrrh. And, of course, in Christ's death, the ointments included these ointments to anoint his body. So Matthew is thinking of all of this as he includes this story of an epiphany. Epiphany to the Magi, and that continues to speak to us. So that's where we are at, why I've included it, why we begin this new year with this story. We think of the characters. There are three main characters, King Herod being the first. And Herod the Great was also part of a Herod family that would continue, and it ruled under Rome in Palestine for 150 years, as is noted here. And so his son was Herod Antipas, was the Herod that we know of and read of in the gospel accounts. But it's all part of this family. He was a great loyalist to Rome. He was a great builder. He built the temple, the big temple. He built aqueducts. He built a port in Caesarea where there was no natural port. He and his engineers were the first ones to come up with a cement-like substance. And he sunk the piers for the great port that still stands in Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean. Masada was one of his great forts. You know the Masada story, where the Jewish community committed mass suicide rather than following Rome. So Herod was associated with all of these different events. And Herod the Great was the king who was overseeing all of Palestine, a ferocious man when Jesus was born. So that's the Herod family. We also see the Magi, second group, coming from the east, Persia, symbols of the Gentile world, as I've seen, and we see the importance in this story of the journey. And so coming all the way from Persia on camels, we assume that's a long way to go over harsh territory. They would have set out months and months ahead of time to go all the way to Jerusalem. So it was a long, hard journey, and they're following a star. That's their journey. And as we move into the new year, we can think of our own journey. What are we following? What's our direction for 2016? What kind of arc is there to our lives? These questions are good questions to consider as we begin a new year, and the Magi were certainly following a star, following a journey, a plan that they had invested in and were committed to. We'll say more about that. So the second character, the Magi. And then thirdly, we have the chief priests and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, who with King Herod were trying to determine where the Messiah would be born. So these three characters are going on in the story that we're going to consider. So in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." So they observed the star. They know that for some reason it has an association with this new king to be born. But as they journey, the star seems to disappear. They lose sight of the star. They're not quite sure where they're going, so they go to Jerusalem, which is the main city. And you can imagine them going to Herod and saying to them, "Where's the child who has been born king of the Jews? He's king. He's half Jew. He sees himself as part of the people, although he wasn't really." And to be confronted by this statement, "Where is the birth of the king of the Jews, the Messiah?" That would have been a huge statement, actually a very brave statement of the wise men to even say that. The Magi, the Magos, the Greek word, all that's wrapped up in that, to this king. So they are coming. And we note, interesting enough, that all they have is the star. Something unusual happens in the sky. And they, through their own studies, associate this with this new birth of a king in a distant land. How they knew that? They were astronomers, they were astrologers, they had their own ancient texts that they were studying. They put it all together, and somehow it had something to do with Israel and Judea and a new king, and they set out following this star. Interesting that it's an act through creation. The first peoples in Canada have a great sense of God as creator. Cheryl Bear, I've had various conversations with Cheryl. Cheryl's a First Nations person in Western Canada, a Christian. And she goes, her mission is to visit every reservation in all of Canada and to go and talk to them about her faith, but in a very humble way. And what she's amazed with is that the First Nations people have this great, great understanding that God is creator. They believe in God, and they believe that He is the creator. A huge connection to that. Much farther ahead than our secular nation, which doesn't really believe in much of anything. The First Nations believe in this, believe in God as creator. The Magi are coming with the same belief that God shows up in creation. God shows up also in the events of our world. And so as we begin, we have to ask ourselves, as we move into 2016, how does God speak and continue to speak in our world? How does He speak to us today? And for the Magi and for other peoples, God shows up in creation. Psalm 19 says that God shows up in creation. All the sun moving and the stars at night display the glory and the handiwork of God, the psalmist says. Romans chapter 1 says that God reveals Himself also in creation. So do we have the eyes to continue to recognize God showing up, and not just in creation, but in the events of our day? The events globally and the events personally. In good times and in tragic times, how does God show up? Years and years ago, it goes back many years now, I was studying pastoral studies with Mario DeGangi, who was a good Presbyterian sort, was a pastor at Knox Presbyterian downtown for a number of years. Mario used to say that in birth and in death, particularly, God shows up, and it's up for us to be able to see and to hear and to receive. So in the births, we've had many births in our church family over the last couple of years. More coming. Praise God. Every time there's a birth, there's an opportunity to see what God is doing in the birth of this child, this unique creation. And also when our story ends, it's a time for us who are part of the family to recognize what is God saying and speaking in these situations, whether they are exciting or tragic. What is God saying? So the Magi were tuning in and were picking up on the events of creation, God's work. And I wonder how tuned in we are to God's word to us in these ways. That's what is going on here. How do we hear? Are we looking? So the Magi come and they go to the king and they ask these questions. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. And note, in all the epiphanies, there's the message of fear. There is some sort of response of fear. Here it's through Herod. And all Jerusalem with him. The whole city is uptight for whatever reason. Partly because there's this possibility of change, of insecurity. What will happen if this new king is born? We basically don't like change. The whole city is uptight. Calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And after their big Bible study, they say, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. That was the prophet Micah. Micah wrote some 6 or 7 centuries earlier. Note, the prophet gave a prophecy. The Messiah would ultimately be born in Bethlehem. And a long time, centuries go by. West Coast, trees, great trees are growing, and it comes from a little seed all the way into a great tree. And by the time it's the great tree, finally the prophecy is fulfilled, and indeed it is fulfilled, and the promises are fulfilled. It may take centuries. That's what happens in this story. The child is born. And so the insiders are afraid. The people who should know and understand and be excited that the Messiah would ultimately be born are afraid. And it's the outsiders, the Magi, those are the ones who come and see and are excited. We are the insiders today. The Christians, we, in our faith tradition, we are the insiders. And we as insiders can miss. And it can be the outsiders who perceive and see something new. So we have to ask ourselves and be careful as we move on in our tradition, because we can become just like the scribes of old and get tired and it becomes routine. It's just another Sunday. And other people hear and are excited and want to know more. So we have to ask ourselves, because these insiders... Herod doesn't go to Bethlehem, does he? We don't hear about the religious leaders. Man, if you are a religious leader, Bethlehem is just like a few hours away. If you heard that the Messiah was going to be born, you might just get excited. That's not an unfathomable idea. Maybe I'll hop on my donkey and go check this out, man. I'm a religious. Why wouldn't I? We just sit at our desks and we say, let me know if you find him. Let me see. I'll talk to you later. That's pretty pathetic. He calls the Bible study. The Bible study reveals that the child is born in Bethlehem. And so here it's interesting, because what Matthew is saying is that the Magi are initially intrigued with this star, but the star ultimately does not lead them exactly to where the Christ is born without help. And what is the help? Matthew is suggesting that for Matthew and for us, the help are the scriptures. And so there's an interplay here between the text and creation. And in all the great traditions of the world, there is a book, by the way. A book, a scripture, which is important. And we have the scriptures of all scriptures. And we are committed to look, and this then informs our reality of what is going on in creation. So we are asked to connect, follow the dots. God created the world, the text tells us, and now he's revealed himself and wants to engage with us. Follow the text and make the connections yourself as you read the words. That's what the Magi need. And when they are told, okay, it's Bethlehem, they head off for Bethlehem, and suddenly the star reappears and follows them and leads them right to the house. Christmas Eve, we told a little story. Interesting little story. And the story was that the star was actually an angel. And it's just a baby angel. And the baby angel wants to do something special for God. And what does he do? Or she becomes a star. She says, what can I do? I can become a star and reveal light to the world. And it's that little star that goes right over the little hovel. And the Magi follow. Not a bad idea. Might have worked that way. Who knows? All we know is some star appeared, and they rejoiced, and the star was right overhead. And it led them to praise and to worship the King. The interplay between Scripture and creation. We're invited, you see, this coming year. You're out in creation in whatever way. Make the connections to the Scriptures and see what God is saying. He is the God who speaks to us. He is not a silent God. We are invited to engage this mystery, this epiphany, and this epiphanal work that God is doing, if we have hearts to do so. When they set out, they heard the King set out ahead of them. Note, the star that they'd seen at its rising had stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. There's the joy. They're overwhelmed with joy. It's not like Herod, who won't even go and investigate. They are saying, yeah, there are high fives going all over the place. Woo! We did it. We pulled off the food drive. They're saying, man, we pulled off this great adventure. Wow! Everybody back home is saying you're crazy for doing it. We made it. Woo! Yeah, that's what overwhelmed with joy sounds like to me. It's not just a little smile. It's overwhelmed. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They opened their treasure chest. They're carrying these chests. And they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh, all symbolic of gifts to a king. There's another interesting prophecy going all the way back to Numbers. Very peculiar story. I won't take time to tell it. You can read it. About a king named Balak and a prophet named Balaam. Very, very interesting story. And the prophet, he's basically asked to say some negative things about the people of God. Curse the people. Balak wants him to do that. Well, he was not a great prophet. Just like the canopy, not pastors always aren't great either. And this prophet decided, okay, I could probably do that for money. Give me money and I'll curse them. And he goes away and he decides, well, you know what? God's word isn't really a curse. So, oops, I can't do that. And he says this, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Moab, and it shall crush the borderlands of Moab in the territory of all the Shethites. That's Balak. God's news to you is not good, my friend. A star shall rise. So this star, again, centuries later, this is a long time later, the Magi pick up on. So the Magi then become forerunners, harbingers of the nations turning to God. And again, we see this paradox between the insiders who don't see it and the outsiders who do. And so as we begin the new year, where are we at? Are we insiders or are we outsiders? And what's our desire to know God? The aftermath of the story, note, God speaks to the Magi. These aren't believers as we know it. These aren't Jewish prophets or whatever. These are people of the world, but God speaks to them. Can God speak to people who aren't Christians? Sure he can. God speaks to people. People are all created by God. And God can whisper in people's mind. He can give them dreams. He can lead them, just like he does to the Magi. And he says to them, because he's concerned about them, hey, don't go back to King Herod, because he's not a nice guy. And he might just kill you because of what you're telling him. And they go off. So God speaks. Speaks to people in our community. Speak to people of all these people around us. And we are to be a light in the midst of all this, helping them to see the great light of Christ. That's our invitation. So God speaks to the Magi. God also speaks to Joseph. And what does he say to him? Interesting story. He says, get up quick. Get up this night. This very night you go. Why? Because they're already on the road. Matthew uses a very strong word. Herod wants to destroy the child. Whew! Sorry about that. Thanks, Dave. He wants to destroy the child that very night. They're on the way. Get up. Go. And so he gets up and flees. And Herod continues to try to kill the child. My brother, actually, Jordan and family, Stephanie, were in Rome visiting my brother, but my brother recently was in Egypt. And it's interesting, one of the stories that he found out is in the Coptic church, they have a great tradition of Jesus and the Holy Family in Egypt for 2 years. And what the tradition tells us is they were continually sought by Herod because Egypt was part of the Roman Empire that day. Herod was continually sending his men to hunt them down. And so they were always on the move. They didn't just go to one little place in Egypt and stay there for 2 years. They were on the move. Imagine that. Joseph is dealing with this kind of threat all the time. He's a refugee. We hear lots about refugees coming to Canada right now. Jesus, our Lord, was a refugee for 2 years, had to flee his family for their own country for 2 years. And even when they went back, they had to go to the outer parts of the country to feel safe. So it invites us, I believe, to have a compassionate heart to those who are coming into our land. Our Lord was a refugee. We have no idea what these people have suffered who come into our land. So we need to come alongside, pray. We meet them to show grace and mercy and help. That's our invitation, I believe. Joseph is a model of obedience. Jesus portrayed as the new Messiah, if you like, the new king coming out of Egypt ultimately. The Israel who really is open to what God is doing. So on this Epiphany Sunday then, as we conclude, we are invited to be open to what God is doing for you and for me this year. Is God going to speak to you in 2016? Sure, he's going to speak to you. And for us, we need to be open and awake and receptive to what God will do for us. Every one of us, no matter what our age, good things might happen this year. Bad things might happen. But God is present in it all, and we're invited to be open and be receptive. That is your biggest challenge in 2016. It's your biggest opportunity in 2016. Forget all the other things. Everything else is secondary. All the money issues are secondary. All the possibilities with family are secondary, as important as they are. What is my dynamic with God? That is what your life and my life is about. That is what is central. I was reading the book that we were talking about. What was it? Eddie Hallison's, right, The Interrupted Life. Eddie Hallison was a Jew in Holland in the Second World War. During that time, in the circle was being tightened and tightened around the cities, Amsterdam and Holland. She had an opportunity to flee, would not flee. And she says an interesting thing in her book. It's her diary. She says, I have come to know that I do not care nothing. I do not care a whiff. I don't care anything. I forget what the word she used, but I do not, nothing about material things. It doesn't matter. When her life is on the line, it does not matter. I do not care. But any of those things. I want to know God. She talks like that as a Jew. I want to know him. I want to be faithful to him in the midst of the terror. So let us not make secondary things so important and we forget what is so key. That's our invitation. I say it to myself. Let's remember, Alan, what is key? What is key? What is key? We don't know what happens this year. What is key? And so we go to the table, and the table reminds us of the essential work of Jesus, that God knew that we needed help to be restored in relationship. He does absolutely everything he can do. He gives us his son. There's nothing more he can do. And it's up to us to say yes. That's our invitation in love. No matter where we're at, no matter what age,